Isn't it amazing how cool you look in slow motion video? CJ's a unique guy, an awesome guy. He's actually the only person I know with a deeper voice than my second son, Kale. But what an amazing story of how God is working and moving in his life. And for those of you who are here with us for the first time, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. Or for those of you who are joining us online on Facebook or live stream, today's a very unique Sunday for us, a very special Sunday for us, because today we look forward. How many of you are enjoying your summer right now? That doesn't sound very convincing, but I'm glad you are, because it's over. It's over. And I know none of us want to do this, but it's time to look forward. And in just a couple weeks, we're going to walk into the fall. And today we want to do something very special. We do this every year as we walk into the next year. We want to be able to look forward to what's ahead of us. But we routinely, before we look forward, we look back. And so I want to take a second to be able to talk about what God's been doing. And then we're going to be talking about, okay, what are we stepping into? How do we step into this fall in such a way that we're following Jesus and what he's called us to be and to do? But first, let's look back for a second. Let's look at what God's been doing this past year. And it's really pretty amazing. I just got a couple things that I want to be able to share with you. The first one is this. Over the course of this past year, here at Hoboken Grace, we have seen over 688 first-time guests. Did you guys celebrate that with me? And that's just the people who filled out connection cards, which most of you didn't, and you know it. It's amazing to see how God's allowing us to share the message of Christ with people for the first time, and to be able to build new relationships and to be able to engage people in this journey for the first time. We talked about this a couple months ago, that for the first time this year, we had a non-Easter Sunday with over 1,000 people in attendance, which is amazing to see what God's been doing there. This year, we're averaging just under 900 for the year, which is almost a growth of 200 year over year. It's just amazing how God's allowing us to continue to develop and grow as a family, and bringing more and more people into that. We're currently averaging 120 kids in Grace Kids. 120 kids. That's a decent-sized church on the second floor. You understand that, right? That's a decent-sized church up there. And we used to be able to do other things on the second floor. We used to have growth classes on the second floor, meetings on the second floor. But you heard Sarah, she was talking about Next. She says you can go to the elevator, they'll take you to the fourth floor. That's because Kids has consumed all of the second floor, the whole thing. And it's amazing what's happening up there. If you haven't seen it, you need to sign up. Just sign up to be a part of the engagement team, or to meet with the engagement team, and they'll give you a tour through it. It's amazing what's happening up there and how they're impacting these kids' lives. Right now, we have over 300 people active on our impact teams. Over 300 people who are serving here at Hoboken Grace. That's amazing. We have just under 500 people who are active in our dinner groups. And as we shut that down a couple weeks ago, and for those of you who don't know, every year our dinner groups take a break in the midst of the summer. And one of the things that we do on a consistent basis here at Hoboken Grace is that we kind of relaunch our groups. The reason that we relaunch our groups is because some of you are here and you think, I don't want to get involved in a dinner group. These people have been together forever. First of all, nothing in Hoboken has been together forever. Hopefully you've realized that by now. People come and go, and it's constantly changing. But then also, one of the things that we do frequently is that we reset our groups. And so those groups, they add new people, and some people step off to other groups because of changes in schedule. And so it allows you to be able to step in, and you're not stepping into a situation where they've been together forever and you're going to feel like the outsider. And so we want to create that for you and allow you to be able to belong and allow you to be able to get connected in that way. And it's amazing to be able to think about the fact that we have over 500 people who are active in those dinner groups. And we fully expect that that's probably going to hit around 600 as we step into the fall. We hope even more. One of the things that's amazing about this past year, and one of the things that we've seen happen that is really blowing us away, is that this past year, in big or small ways, we have been able to impact the lives of 46,000 1,000 people. You realize... You realize the population of Hoboken is somewhere between 55 and 60,000, right? And we have been able to impact 46,000 people. That's amazing. Our goal going into this next year is to be able to hit that 60,000 mark, to be able to impact as many people as there are inside of this city. One of the things I'm really excited about is that we have 36 new testimonies on our site as people share their stories. So some of you are here, and you're here today because someone else invited you to hear about who Jesus is and what Jesus has made possible for you. One of the most powerful things that we have available to you is that on our website, hobokengrace.com, you can go to our stories page, and you can hear story after story after story after story of people just like you who have the same questions that you're working through and who work through the same doubts that you're working through, and see how God drew them to himself, how God worked in their life, and the impact that that's had on their life. It's powerful. And to be able to come to the end of this year and see that we've been able to add 36 new stories to our site for you to be able to see how God's working and moving. Another number that really shocked me when I looked at it. I'd never looked at the number before, but I asked Nick, who's in charge of our dinner groups, I said, how many connection events have we held this year? For those of you who don't know what a connection event is, it's something that we ask our dinner groups to do. It's basically our dinner groups just throwing a party or doing something where everybody can come together, and we want it to be their group plus two people. So just try to connect two new people. That's the goal of a connection event. It's basically just a party. So I asked them, basically, how many parties have we thrown this year? Year to date, we have thrown 94 parties. 94 parties. How amazing is that? By the end of the year, we will have thrown over 100 parties. That's what a Hoboken church should look like. That's what it means to be a part of this community and to actually, what we talk about is incarnation, when Jesus became one of us. That's what that looks like. As we look at this past year, we've collected over 8,500 items for the shelter and In Jesus' Name charity for the local food bank. Over 8,500 items. So some of you don't know this story of how we began doing that. You see us at ShopRite, or you see us at the A&P and collecting. The way that this started was really very simple. When we first got to Hoboken, I sat down with April, who's an amazing woman, and I said, you know, what is your biggest struggle as you run this food bank? And she said, well, the biggest struggle is the fact that everyone wants to be able to collect around Thanksgiving, and everyone wants to collect around Christmas, but the rest of the year, there's nothing. And oftentimes, she was actually closing down during the summer because there was nothing, and no one was collecting, and there was nothing coming in for her to be able to give out. And so I went back to the team, and I said, why can't we just collect every month? We'll just make sure they always have something. We've been doing that for 8 years now. For 8 years, we've been able to consistently provide food to be given out by our local food bank. And it's amazing. Sometimes the biggest changes come through the smallest and simplest of things. The smallest and simplest of things, but just someone who takes the time to be able to see the need and to be able to address the need. And we were able to do that. We've been able to do that for 8 years now here in Hoboken, as we've provided for both them and then now for the shelter as well. As we look back on this past year, we've seen 36 people take the step of baptism. Can we celebrate that? I don't think that there's any other way to describe this past year than to say that this has been a banner year for Hoboken Grace. I mean, this has been an amazing year. What we've seen happen over the course of this past year is unparalleled in our history. And really, as I interact with pastors and as I'm a part of Redeemer's church planting movement, city to city in the city, and I look at what God's doing, even throughout the entire New York metro area, what God's doing here is really unique. I hope you understand that. I mean, it's really unique. And it's an amazing privilege to be a part of. It's amazing to be used by God that way. It's amazing to see God work in our lives and in the lives of the people around us in that way. I hope you do not take that for granted. It doesn't always happen like this. And sometimes as I talk to people about what God's doing, or I talk to people about how God's working, they'll ask me a question. And to be honest with you, the question confuses me a little bit. It used to confuse me. Now it just kind of frustrates me a little bit, because I'll be talking to them about it and they'll say to me, they ask me this quite frequently. They say, well, how big do you want Hoboken Grace to get? They say, well, I mean, how, you have over 1,000 people coming together. How big do you really want this thing to get? How far do you really want this to go? And it's interesting, because I'm often talking to other pastors and they'll ask me this question. I mean, how big do you really want this thing to be? And the question, it confuses me. Let me take you to a passage. The passage is found in 2 Peter. For those of you who don't know, Peter's writings are very important to us here at Hoboken Grace, because our entire strategy is really based on what Peter writes to the church. Because in 1 and 2 Peter, Peter's writing to a church that finds itself in a culture that's a little bit closed off to the church. It's growing antagonistic towards the church. And so Peter writes to them and says, in that environment, this is how you should operate. And he writes to them and says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to love in crazy ways. I want for you to not just love the people who love you. I want you to love the people who hate you. I want you to love not just the people who are for you. I want you to love the people who are against you. I want you to love in crazy ways in your marriage. I want you to love. He's walking them through this, all these different ways that he wants them to love. And then he says, when you do that, people are going to ask you why you love that way. He says, when they ask you why, make sure that you're able to give an answer for the hope that you have, but do so in a way that's gentle and respectful. And our strategy here at Hoboken Grace has always been based on what you see in 1 and 2 Peter, that we want to love in big ways, small ways, every way that we can find, people who are for us, people who are against us, it doesn't matter. We want to love them. We want to be able to make sure that when they ask why, that we're able to give an answer for the hope that we have, but we want to do it in a way that's gentle and respectful. For those of you who are here and you're working through, okay, who is this Jesus? Can I trust this Jesus? We want to engage that conversation with you in a way that's gentle and respectful. We understand what it's like to work through those doubts. We understand what that journey's like. And we want to be able to walk through that with you in a way that respects the struggle that you're working through. This is our strategy. But as Peter's talking to them, he also says something else to them about the mission that's crucial. And it's part of what confuses me when people say, well, you know, what's the goal here? Because I think we've been given a goal. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says this. It says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. See, it confuses me when people ask me that question. Because here's the thing. I don't get to set that number. You don't get to set that number. We don't get to set that number. We've been given a number. You know what that number is? All. All. He doesn't come and say, you know what? Jesus wants 50% to come to repentance. He doesn't come and say, hey, when you reach 2% of your city, you're good. When you fill your space, that's good. He says, no, I want all to know who I am. I want every single one to know who I am. We don't get to set the number. He says, no, 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 no. Here's the mission. Here's the mission. All. And the idea that we would be satisfied when there are 50,000 people in this city that Jesus went to that cross for, who don't know his love. There's no way we can ever be okay with that. We've been given a number. All. And that doesn't mean that everyone has to be a part of Hoboken Grace. It takes all different kinds of churches to reach all different kinds of people. That's why as our staff, we've been developing more and more how we can pour into other pastors in our community, other church planters in our community. It's why, as a part of City to City, I train church planter coaches to be able to work inside the New York metro area, to be able to develop other church plants. It takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people, but we cannot be satisfied with less than what Jesus died for, which is all. I am so incredibly grateful that Jesus wasn't satisfied before he found me. Have you ever thought about that? How grateful are you that Jesus wasn't satisfied before he found you? In the book of Romans, it talks about how we respond to the fact that we've been found. It talks about how we respond to the fact that he pursued us, and the grace that we've experienced and the forgiveness that we've experienced. It's found in Romans chapter 12. In the beginning of the book, the writer has been walking us through what Jesus has done for us. And for the first 11 chapters of Romans, as Paul, who experienced Jesus in a powerful way, changed his whole life. He used to hate Jesus, hated the church, but he experiences Jesus in this powerful way. Jesus steps into his story, and now Paul's writing to the church at Rome about what Jesus has done for them. And as he's writing to them about what Jesus has done, in the first 11 chapters, he's breaking down, okay, this is what grace looks like. This is what forgiveness looks like. This is how you've been united to God. And then he gets to chapter 12, and there's a transition, because then in chapter 12, he begins to talk about, this is how you respond to the fact that you've been found. Listen to what he says. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. And then he gives them a picture. We don't necessarily pick up on it right away because our culture is very different than their culture, but they would have seen it right away. He says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now, we don't interact with sacrifices, so this doesn't stand out to us right away. But the culture that he's writing to understood sacrifices. Because the way that they would honor their God, the way that they would love their God, is that they would bring a sacrifice to an altar, and they would place that sacrifice on the altar, and then that sacrifice would be burnt up in honor of, in communication of love to that God, whether it's from a Hebrew background or another God. They're all throughout this culture, this is the way that they honored their gods. And so he's painting this picture. He says, this is what I want you to do. This is how you respond to the fact that you've been found. This is how you respond to the fact that Jesus wasn't satisfied before he found you. He says, you bring yourself to the altar, and he says, you live your life in such a way that you make sure it is all burnt up for him. When you look at the New Testament over and over again, it's bringing to us this picture. He says, this is what it means to respond to the fact that you've been found. You bring yourself to the altar and you make sure that it is all burnt up for him. In the New Testament, there's very little, if any, concern with burnout. It's all about being burnt up. It's all about making sure that when you get to the end, there's nothing left. Paul doesn't just talk about this in Romans. He talks about it multiple times in his life. Later on, when he's writing to the Philippians and when he's writing to Timothy, he changes it. And it's not about being burnt up. It's about being poured out. Listen to what he says in Philippians 2. He says, but I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. For those things that, for those offerings that couldn't be burnt up, they would be poured out as an offering. In Timothy, he says the same thing. He says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. For Paul, his greatest fear wasn't that he would burn out. His greatest fear was that he'd get to the end and there will have been something left that he could have given. His greatest fear. His greatest fear is that he would look Jesus in the eyes and not be able to say, I gave it all. He says, this is how you respond to the fact that you've been found. You allow your life to be burnt up for him. Every last bit of it. You allow your life to be poured out for him. Every last drop. Because you see, Paul understood. Jesus willingly went to that cross and poured out everything for you. And here's the reality. For those of you who are here and you're wrestling through, who is this Jesus? And does he actually care about me? Does he actually love me? Jesus went to that cross and poured out everything for you. Everything for you. And here's the thing. You need to understand this. You need to know this. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care the mistakes you've made. I don't care what happened last night. Jesus decided that you were worth dying for. I don't care what your dad has to say. I don't care what the people around you have to say. I don't care how you feel. Jesus decided. Listen to me. For those of you who are working through this, what does this mean? For those of you who need to be reminded of this because you forgot it, listen to me. Jesus decided that you were worth dying for. And he poured it all out. For you. Every last breath. And Paul says, this is what it looks like to be like Jesus. This is how you respond to the fact that you've been found. You bring yourself to that altar and you say, I want to be burnt up. I want every last bit of it to be consumed for your message and your mission. Paul's greatest fear was to stand face to face with the one who'd been poured out for him and realize that he'd held back. And realize that he hadn't given it all. He wanted to make sure that when the race was over and when he crossed that finish line, that he would collapse. But because he'd given every last bit of it. All. And as we look at what God's calling us to in this place, and make no mistake about it, you are here on purpose, for a purpose. And he's placed you in the midst of those who do not know him because he is pursuing them. And as we look towards this next year, if we're going to continue to gain ground in our community, if we're going to continue to see God work and move, it's going to be because we come to that altar and we say, I want to be burnt up for you. And here's the thing about it. None of us carry this alone. None of us carry this alone. And the amazing thing about this is that you hear this sacrifice, burnt up, and all of the words have a negative connotation. But when you look at the reality of it, and for those of you who've stepped into it, you know it. Even if you've stepped out of it, you still know it. The joy of what he's calling you to is so far greater than anything else that you could pursue. Let me tell you something. What you experience when you are on this stage and you baptize your friend, there is nothing greater than that. There is no vacation that compares to it. There is no promotion that compares to it. There is nothing like that. And when you see God use you and work through you to change someone's life, what he's calling you to is what you crave at the very core of your soul. It's what you were created for. It's your purpose. You're not an accident. You're not here today on accident. This is where it is. This is what you're looking for. And none of us do that individually. We do it together. In Corinthians, it's talking to the church about the beauty of the body of Christ. And it says this. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. And he's calling us to this reality that every single one of us matter to this mission. And that if we're going to be able to do what he's called us to do inside the city, it's because all of us are going to step into that. As we look at this next year, there are so many different things. There are so many different things that I look at and say, man, it would be amazing if we could do this and we could do that. And I'm constantly dreaming about these things. I'm constantly dreaming about these things. For years, I've been dreaming, ever since we started the live stream, I've been dreaming about a group of individuals who would go into, and for those of you who don't know, there are several buildings here in Hoboken where it's primarily elderly and shut-in individuals. And for years, I've been dreaming about a group of people who would go in and go into the community rooms at the bottom of those places and just walk in with a TV and some donuts and coffee and just invite everyone in the building. Listen, we know you can't get to our service and we know you can't go to church on Sunday and you don't have the capability to be able to do that. So we're just going to bring church to you here and you can come down here and we're going to have our own little church and we're going to love you and we're going to get connected and talk about the beauty of who God is and listen to the beauty of what God's teaching us through his word and celebrate him together. For years I've been dreaming about that. In Grace Kids, we've been dreaming about what it would look like to be able to develop a team that comes in and works with the special needs kids who are part of Grace Kids and goes to class with them and allows them to be able to experience all that God wants to teach them in that setting. We've been looking at how do we begin to develop a team that places two or three people from our family on every single open Zog sports team? The idea of having our own team is great, but I think, man, what would happen if we could get two people on every team, on every open team? And you guys know that's like 50% of Hoboken. What would that look like? Dreaming about how to be able to foster and to be able to coach and train individuals in social enterprise here inside of our city and start businesses that are focused on social enterprise. dreaming about these things. And as we look at this next year, there's so much that we can do to be able to take it to the next level and impacting those 50,000 people who do not know the truth of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them. But I've learned something over the past 10 years. I've learned a couple things specifically in the last couple years. Number one, I'm getting old. I can't do what I used to be able to do. I can't go as hard as I used to be able to go. And at the beginning, 10 years ago, I'd just do more and do more and do more and do more and do more. I can't do that anymore. Number two, I have 3 kids. I'm learning that. I'm learning what that means. And God's told me I need to be a good dad. And that means I don't have the bandwidth that I used to have. But most importantly, number three, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to do that. And sometimes I look at it and I'm like, man, I'm going to do this. This just has to happen. This has got to. And God's like, no. You're not supposed to do that. You see, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to lead and I'm supposed to teach. And the reality is, number four, you can do it. You can do it. And if we're going to be all that God created us to be in this city, it means that you're going to step into what you can do and your role as a part of this body and what you uniquely bring to the table. And every single one of you brings something unique to the table. But it means that we're going to have to together climb up on that altar and say, I'm not holding anything back. I want to be burnt up. I want to make sure that when I see him at the end, I'm able to say, Jesus, I know it wasn't much, but I gave it all. You can do it. In just a couple weeks, we expect that we're going to have over 1,000 people who are going to be celebrating with us on a weekly basis. Currently, inside of our dinner groups, we have room for about 460. That means we're going to have to look at about 500 people and say, we don't have a place for you to belong. You can change that. You can change that. And some of you have been saying no because of the lies that CJ talked about. You've been hesitating. It's time to climb up on the altar. I'm going to give it all. I'm going to give it all. And I look at that and say, man, I'd love to start another dinner group, but maybe I could lead 3 dinner groups. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to do that. And it doesn't work when a few of us try to be everything. It doesn't work. It works when all of us do what we're supposed to do. You can do it. You can do it. As you look at the fall, what is it that you're supposed to do? I promise you, I will give everything I have to do what I'm supposed to do as best as I can. but we can only do it together. From the beginning of Hoboken Grace, I've been asking the same question over and over and over and over again. I asked this question the night before our very first service. There were five of us. It was huge. We were gathered in my living room, and I looked at the team and I said, what could God do with five people who were sold out to his message and his mission? And we set out to find out what God could do with five. A year later, I stood before our service, and that five had turned into 100. And I asked them, what could God do with 100 people sold out to his message and his mission? And we decided to find out. 4 years later, that 100 had turned into 500. And I asked them, what can God do with 500 people who are sold out his message and his mission? And we decided to find out. Today, that 500 has turned into 1,000. Let me ask you something. What would happen in our community if there were 1,000 people sold out to his message and his mission? What would happen? You know what would happen. You know this place would never be the same. Every single one of us knows it. The question is, will we climb up on that altar and find out? Will we climb up on that altar together and find out? We only get one life. We only have one chance to find out. One chance. Do you want to know? Do you want to actually know? I want to know. I think you do too. Because you know, no vacation will compare to that. No promotion and no retirement will touch it. What we will see happen will be miraculous. This fall, as we look at this next year, join us as hand in hand and arm in arm, we climb up on that altar and we say, burn us up. Burn us up. We want to be burnt up for your message and your mission. Let's find out. Will you pray with me? Father, we want to know. We want to know, but for some of us, we still cling to these other things, and they're calling our name and they're calling us back. Father, I pray that you would begin to develop in us, that you would annoy us with this dream, that it would consume us, that we would begin to think about it constantly. What could actually happen? Climb up on that altar. on that beautiful day when we see you face to face, that we would be able to say it without reservation. I gave it all. In Jesus' name.